It's winter. It's definitely not too early, especially like if you're me. I'm already thinking about next year's big adventure, what I'm going to be doing this summer or spring. Big part of the planning is what do we eat while we're out there? How do we keep our bodies fueled? How do we hit the mark nutritionally? Where can we find the best foods to eat? Today, we have a returning guest, somebody whose story, when I first read it, I just said, what a remarkable story. Founder and CEO of Heather's Choice Foods. Heather, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. It's really fun to be invited back. I love
Oh,
this.
it's great. And as I said, your story is incredible. And, listening to you talking about the food you're preparing and your story about how you got there, when I was thinking about having somebody come on to talk about outdoor nutrition, I thought, wow, this is somebody who didn't just start a business to for the sake of starting a business. You did this as a passion. This was a passion project. So your heart is really into this.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Food is my love language. I just get to do it on a little bit larger scale than most people.
Some of us that love food might say, I'm going out to a nice restaurant tonight, or I'm going to cook a nice dinner in my home, but you went and started a whole business.
Yeah, a little ambitious, but here we are, and it's been, a 9-year journey that I've been a part of, and hopefully many, many more years of, feeding people good food. I feel like that's a pretty good mission to have.
Heather, a challenge for quite a few people is some people have dietary restrictions or certain diets they'd like to follow. And, part of what got you started in this was a change in diet and finding foods that were best for you. And then you took that to your selling out of your pickup truck or out of a truck and then starting a business. But this is such an important part, and it could be something that maybe makes people hesitant or even just keeps them from doing a multi-night, multi-week trip. So I want to start with this. When people have their dietary restrictions, what should they do? What's your advice on something like that?
And this is for somebody going on a backcountry trip, kind of getting ready to go, stay in the great outdoors.
Yeah, and I just want to say for everybody, Heather and I talk backpacking. I'm a backpacker. That's what I do first. But if you're into bike touring, bike packing, backcountry kayaking or canoeing, anything that's a multi-day endurance outback type of trip, these same principles will apply to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to have anybody and everybody that I'm talking to or working with really start with having a good grasp on what they're eating day to day at home. Because I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like most people are not actually tracking their daily intake in their normal everyday life, even though a lot of us eat the same foods most of the time, right? Like I could probably ask you what you had for breakfast over the last 2 weeks, and you'd be like, yeah, 9 out of 14 days, I ate the same thing that I usually do. So that effort of tracking your daily food really isn't that hard once you get into a rhythm of it, because you'll notice, like, okay, potentially I eat the same breakfast or I eat a really similar lunch every day. I have spaghetti every Monday night. I eat pizza every Saturday, whatever it is. So I would encourage anybody who is planning for a big trip and trying to figure out what their nutritional needs might be to start by tracking your daily intake. And just even that awareness in and of itself will really help you understand how many calories, how many grams of protein, how many grams of carbohydrates you're eating in your day-to-day life, so that when you head out on these trips, you already have some sort of caloric baseline, or you have an idea of what your basic nutritional needs are every single day at home. And the reason I think this is so important is because I'll use myself as an example. I'm 5'9", I'm 150 pounds. I consistently eat 2,200 to 2,400 calories a day in my normal everyday life. Now, all of a sudden, if I'm going to be, not spending 2 hours a day exercising, but spending eight, if I'm going on a really big hike or just some sort of epic adventure, my caloric needs are going to be significantly higher than that. However, just because I go from needing 2,400 calories a day to 3,000, 3,600, whatever the number is, doesn't mean that digestively I am ready to nearly double my caloric intake. And I feel like this is an issue that people have over and over again preparing for these extended backcountry trips, is they're trying to inflate the number of calories that they're eating, but they don't realize that it's really hard on your digestive system to have those really big influxes of carbohydrates or sugars or fats or whatever it ends up being. So I feel like people need to have a really good understanding of what their daily intake looks like. And then from there, we can start to ratchet up the calories in a really smart way. But if you don't know what your baseline is, it makes it almost nutritionally impossible for you to prepare for something that is going to require potentially a lot more food to get the job done.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, crash dieting, we already know that's bad for us. It doesn't work, but it sounds like crash eating can have a negative impact on us as well. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right? I normally eat X number of calories a day. Now I'm going to double it because I'm going to be hiking 10 to 15 miles a day. And she said, our bodies just aren't prepared to have all that food dumped in us.
I mean, I bet that we could even say that people have experienced that during the holiday season, right? You go from your normal everyday food intake and then you show up to Thanksgiving dinner and all bets are off. And before you know it, you're like, oh, I don't feel that good. Like my stomach is just having a hard time literally digesting and assimilating all of that food that I just took in. Now add in the stress of being in the great outdoors, the stress of moving your body more than you frequently do, potentially not enough water, potentially too many sugars, too many processed fats, whatever it ends up being. So I feel like people set themselves up for failure if they aren't preemptively thinking about what foods digest well for me as an individual, for you as an individual. What are the calorically dense foods that I can bring with me that aren't going to necessarily require a whole bunch more digestive enzymes or anything like that? And so I just think that people could do themselves a really big favor by having a good grasp of their everyday intake and then starting to ratchet up their calories with, once again, maybe some easier to digest things, right? Like, I don't know about how it is for you, but if I added, let's say, 2 tablespoons of coconut oil to one of my backcountry meals, that's an extra 240 calories, but it's not adding a whole bunch more fiber or a whole bunch more complex carbohydrates to that meal. It's actually adding some really healthy, nutritious fat calories in an easy to digest format.
And you talked about, you know, foods, food dumps, so to speak. That's what I like to look at them as. You know, there's certain things that, and I was guilty of it at one point, you know, I need to get this many calories. And I'd find myself eating food that I typically wouldn't at home. For example, Pop-Tarts, right? Something totally. I never have in my house, right? And not really paying attention to, okay, and it's, I know the foods I eat every day and I know how my body responds to them. But then just because, you know, well, I've heard, you know, ramen's great, you know, so I'm going to have ramen or, you know, mashed potatoes. And you would never eat that every day at home.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible high quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
Right. And okay, I will go get on my, you know, nutritional soapbox now. The issue I also see is that there is so much push for more simple carbohydrates for these long endurance activities. And again, there is a big difference between operating at, you know, more of a high, like aerobic output, right? If you're really huffing it and you're you know, operating in your 70 to 80% heart rate all day, sure, is there a world where your body needs potentially more free and easy carbohydrates to get that work done? Yes. However, for the majority of us on these longer extended efforts, we're not racing, right? We are walking. So I'm probably, instead of a resting heart rate of 50, I'm walking at an 86. Maybe I'm walking uphill. I'm at 100 beats per minute. Your body should be better adapted at accessing fat for fuel during those longer endurance activities versus needing to consistently, constantly replenish yourself with simple carbohydrates. And we see this a lot, especially with women, because women are better suited at accessing fat for fuel than men are, which is why you're seeing a lot of these women who are crushing really long extended running races or fastest known times. Like, women are just better suited at accessing fat for fuel because we have more of it on our bodies naturally. But for anybody who is looking at some of these longer day hikes, multi-day hikes, backpacking trips, I would absolutely advocate for those people getting more calories from fats versus simple carbohydrates to feel their best and to perform better over the long haul. So I'll step off my soapbox now, but that is something that I see as a really low-hanging fruit that would be a more sound nutritional strategy that would take up less weight in your pack, that would leave you feeling better, that wouldn't tear up your gut as much. Because you and I both know that something like Pop-Tarts and Top Ramen is not something that we would eat in our everyday life. And it's going to have its impact on your digestive system when you're out there in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. And this brings me, you know, you're talking about the nutritional side of this and some science here. We're talking about the science of all this. And it brings me back to a conversation I recently had with someone who was talking about the mental aspect of hiking. You know, and, you know, we put a lot of focus on our gear and, you know, studying our maps and physically preparing ourselves. And when I say physically, I mean, you know, we're going to the gym or however we work out, whether it's just taking daily hikes, but we ignore in a big way the mental side of this. And I'm listening to you and we're ignoring the nutritional. And when I say nutritional, you know, there's some science in this. You know, you bring up fats, you know, and knowing that, you know, do we need a carbohydrate or do we need a lot of sugars, and, you know, and not just fats, what type of fats we should be eating or what our bodies will metabolize best. Because to point it out, there's not a one size fit all when it comes to nutrition, right? Some people metabolize slower or faster than others.
Yeah, absolutely. We are all so different. And simultaneously, there is this underlying nutrition science truth, which is that carbohydrates are elective, right? If you and I were transported back to being hunter-gatherers in the very early days of human civilization, we only needed proteins, right, to sustain our lean muscle mass, to have healthy hormones, to have our skeletal system. We have to have protein, and that's why amino acids are deemed essential. You know, like, we have to have them every single day as the building blocks of our structure. And we do need healthy fats, again, for healthy hormone production, for energy, for ketones in our brain. Like, there's so much good calories that we can get from fats every day. But you can go back and you can look at entire human civilizations that operated sans carbohydrates. However, that is not what you and I are sold every day with the food pyramid of it being, you know, 70% carbohydrates in your diet. And that's a lot of what we see people having issues with, is that our diets are so heavy in refined carbohydrates and refined sugars. And we wonder why people are so sick, right? Because they're not getting the amount of protein they need every day to simply maintain their lean muscle mass, let alone build new lean muscle mass. And then people are also not getting the nourishing, good quality fats that their body needs, like omega-3 fatty acids or medium chain triglycerides from coconut, or, you know, just anti-inflammatory fats in general. Our diets are so high in these processed carbohydrates and these pro-inflammatory fats, and we wonder why we don't feel very good. And then we go out and try to do these really big endurance efforts on a diet that primarily consists of refined carbohydrates and pro-inflammatory fats. And we wonder why we lose a ton of weight on these trips. We don't feel very good. Day four or five, our energy is starting to wane. Our joints are starting to ache. And as far as I'm concerned, 80% of our health is predicated on what we ingest each and every day. And to your point earlier, the nutrition side is probably the last thing that people think about getting ready for these trips, even though I would argue it's maybe one of the most important things that you can do to prepare for any sort of endurance effort. But again, that's kind of my life work, is kind of bringing this awareness to people of how important our daily nutrition is.
I brought this up with you last time we spoke. You know, it's not uncommon to show up in camp on one of these long distance trails and somebody has their, you know, $500 or $600 tent and their $400 or $500 backpack, you know, the most expensive gear, and they're very proud of their gear. And then they'll talk about how they bought 5 days worth of food for less than $10 when they went into town. And you can't help but think, okay, so you have all this great gear, but you know, what are you doing for the most important part of you? You're, you know, that thing that in that what's going to actually bring you from point A to point B. Yeah.
That's, I don't know why that is the culture and why that is so prevalent. And I realize that, you know, especially depending on your age, if you're in your 20s, nutritionally, you can probably get away with a lot. I wasn't somebody who was that lucky, right? I was pretty well born nutritionally sensitive. And so it's an awareness that I've had for a really long time. But I feel like as people age, they also become a little bit more privy to the fact that their body can't necessarily handle a whole bunch of alcohol, a whole bunch of sugar, a whole bunch of pro-inflammatory fats. Like suddenly their body is sending them louder messages of, hey, we're not getting what we need. And that is, you know, just something that I would really like to have more conversations like this and help people get more of an awareness of what foods do and don't work for them and what impact that food is having on their body. Because you and I both know that if we're not well fed, it really impacts our ability to show up and do good work in the world or to go have a great trip in the mountains. Like eating to me is one of those baseline foundational needs that need to be covered in preparation for any of these backcountry trips.
Yeah. If we'll spend, you know, hundreds of dollars on a tent to keep us dry, and we'll do a lot of research, right? We'll put a lot of research into making sure we buy the right tent, put a lot of research into nutrition. Now, I'm somebody who wasn't until my 40s. The truth is, I didn't really start paying close enough attention to it. But now that I do, yeah, I'll start recognizing when I'm out there on the trail, if I'm kind of slowing down or hitting the wall a little bit, and it's like, okay, I need to get this into me. You know, let me reach into my bag and, you know, maybe I need a handful of this. And then, you know, within 15, 20 minutes, yeah, I start feeling a little bit better. I put the right fuel, not just some fuel in the furnace, got the right fuel going in there. And, you know, when you're paying attention to that, and I'm telling, and you know this better than I do by profession, but you know, both of us are telling everybody out there, if you're paying attention, pay it, you'll find out. It makes a difference. It really does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of those signs that people can just be looking towards is one, you know, back when I was doing my work as an eating psychology coach and a sports nutritionist, I would actually have people log on a scale of 1 to 10, sort of what their hunger level was. So asking people, like, if you're at a 1, you know, you're hungry enough that you could eat the leather off of your shoe, right? Versus being at like a 3 or a 4 of like, oh, my stomach is growling, like I'm getting kind of hungry. You know, maybe a 5 is sort of neutral. You and I are sitting here having this conversation. I had breakfast 2 hours ago. I'm not really thinking about food. It's just not part of my needs right now. Versus if you've eaten too much, let's say you're at Thanksgiving dinner and you're eating a week's worth of calories in one sitting, you might be at a 10, right? Where you feel super bloated and distended and you're pretty lethargic and you're sinking deeper into the couch and you're just like overloaded with food. But even that scale of 1 to 10 of super freaking hungry to super freaking full, there's a lot of people out there that don't have an awareness of what it feels like. to one, recognize their hunger cues, to know what level clear energy feels like, or to hit that six or seven of, okay, I've eaten my breakfast, I feel full, I feel satisfied, I'm going to push away from the table now and go about my day. So even something as simple as starting to learn what messages your body will send you in regards to your hunger level will help you on these trips, because then you sort of have an awareness of, okay, I'm at like a three, like it's time for me to sit down, have a snack, feel satiated, get up and go again. Or at the end of the day, if I'm pushing myself to eating to like an 8, 9, or a 10, and I'm feeling overly full and lethargic and just stuffed, like, is that actually what my body needs in this moment? Or am I doing that because of some perceived pressure that I need to be hammering my system with calories at the end of the day?
I think we need to be putting more time into understanding the science of how we're feeding ourselves while we're out there. Because as I said, this is something I went through. It took me into my 40s. And I can't emphasize it enough. You, especially young people out there, just think you're going to load up on crap and hit the trail. Understand it. Understand the science of the nutrition. And yeah, it can make your trip. I'll go as far as saying from being more enjoyable to being successful in some cases.
I would agree with that. It's what people don't realize is that the fastest way to ruin a trip is to, you know, have some sort of digestive upset, right? Like you don't mm-hmm. want to hike as far. You don't want to do as much. Like your digestive system can just absolutely ruin the experience that you have out there if you don't pay attention to it and take care of it. And again, that is challenging when you are headed out into the backcountry and you maybe don't have your probiotics or you don't have your kimchi and sauerkraut and these things that really kind of help support good digestion in our day to day. But that's why I think that food quality is so, so important to set us up for success.
Now, Heather, on the note of food quality, you sell some quality products. One that I tried recently, your Packaroons, by the way. How can we find your foods online? How can we, yeah. Some of them are in stores too, not just online, but in stores.
Yep. We are at heatherschoice.com. You can find the full Heather's Choice adventure menu. There's breakfast, there's dinners. They're all just add hot water. And then we also have our world famous Packaroons, which I will tell you, Packaroons were intentionally created as a high calorie, high fat snack option that points right back to how we started this conversation of, hey, maybe look at adding some really healthy, nourishing fats to your everyday if you're trying to boost your calories, because it's going to be easier on your digestive system. It's going to have a longer sustained energy output for you, and you are going to feel better than if you had eaten the same number of calories from a simple sugar or a refined carbohydrate. But again, I'm a little bit of a nutrition geek, so that would make sense that I would develop an entire business based on my knowledge and obsession with all things food.
Yeah, I haven't tried them on a hike yet, but I tried them at home because, you know, of course, we want to make sure we enjoy these foods before we take them out on the trail. So I just had to make sure. But no, they were extremely tasty. So yeah, they are definitely going into my, they'll be definitely be on my menu in 2024. Heather Kelly of Heather's Choice, it's always great talking to you. Thanks for giving up your time and sharing this important information with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it and look forward to hearing if people conduct some new nutritional experiments in the new year and see what happens.
Yes. Yep. All right, everybody, go check out Heather's website and try some of her foods while you're putting your menu together. Because as I said, you know, most importantly, you're going to eat the food you bring out there with you. But maybe test them over the winter to make sure they meet your taste, because they're definitely going to hit your nutritional needs. Give them a try, though. Everybody, get outside, have some fun, and stay warm.
Thanks for listening.
If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe. This episode of Pop Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.